The people who sat in darkness and have seen a great light, and upon those who sat in the region and shadow of death, light has dawned.
We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again.
Death no longer has dominion over him. But the life he lives to God. And the same
since
way
death came through a man,
dead to sin,
the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man.
He is not here. He has risen.
The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see the place where he lay."
For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. Good morning, Ebenezer family and friends. He has risen. He has risen indeed. It was a tradition that was passed down from the resurrection that after the saints realized and understood that Christ had got up from the grave, that they would go to other saints, other Christians, and they would say, "He is risen." And then the other Christian would say, "He is risen indeed." So I greet you with that today. I just thank the Lord that he has made us living epistles as we walk out our lives as believers to show forth how good God has been. I want to encourage you, please stay connected to ebcnc.com. So many announcements, information is there. Maybe someone wants to know more about salvation. Share the scriptures with them, but also point them to ebcnc.com where they can get more information, they can be edified, and we all can grow together. Don't forget about our Monday manna at 7 o'clock, our virtual connection, our Tuesday noonday, where we're actually going through excerpts of the book of Genesis, studying on Melchizedek, and going in a lot of in-depth as we connect Hebrews to that. And then on Wednesdays, our virtual connection at 7 o'clock, we're going through the book of Luke. We had a little review on last week, just thinking about the resurrected Christ and thinking about his power and his healing touch. He has done so much for all of us. And then on Thursdays, we have our in-person Bible study at 6 o'clock, where we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians, which has been an amazing study already. I want to thank you so much for praying for our 8:45 in-person service, our 10 o'clock online, and our 10:45 in-person service. The Lord continues to reach out, save souls, deliver, and set people free, and grow us in him. I want to thank you so much for your giving. God loves a cheerful giver, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or necessity, for God does love that person who gives from their heart. Whether you're giving via our app or you're sending it to our secure mailbox or in-person service, we want to thank you. Because of that, we've got some special things that are coming up. On May 6th, that's a Saturday, we're going to be celebrating our Founders Day. That's going to come forth on that 7th, that Sunday. And so we want to do a fellowship lunch at 1 o'clock on the 6th to celebrate 123 years. Yes, 123 years of anniversary, a time at Ebenezer where God has blessed us so much. So what we want you to do, so we'll know how much food to prepare on that Saturday at 1 o'clock, we want you to register. We want you to sign into your app, get that information, and you go into your the apps on your phone, and you can go to the left and go down. You'll find out where you can connect to that, or you can use that QR code that you see on the screen, or you can go on our webpage, and you can find that in the events side. So please, 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 we have a deadline so we can get prepared properly. I think it's April 21st, April 21st. So please, 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 make sure that you register online. If you're in person, we'll have sign-up sheets, people that you can connect with, so that we can celebrate our Founders Day again on May 6th, that Saturday. We'll be having a fellowship luncheon at 1 o'clock. And then on that Sunday, that first Sunday in May, we've got some speakers that are coming in. We've got Pastor Steve Allen from Shallow Missionary Baptist Church. He'll be ministering in our 8:45 service. Then at 10 o'clock online, we'll have Pastor Fitzgerald. We're just excited about him. And then we're going to have his dad, Larry Fitzgerald. So Tim at 10 o'clock, and then Pastor Larry Fitzgerald at 10:45 in-person service. So a wonderful day of just connecting to the history of Ebenezer and just excited about what the Lord has done and what he will be doing. Well, I'm ready to get into the Word today as we just really celebrate who Christ is in our lives. He is risen. You know the answer. We'll see you soon.
Our scripture this morning is going to come from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 25. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he had perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, said the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquity will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see that day approaching. Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and understanding of his holy word this morning.
He counts the stars one and all. He knows the much sun is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. Oh, he knows the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures, great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name. Oh. I don't know what tomorrow may bring. I can't tell you what's in stock. I don't know a lot of things. Hey, I don't have all the answers to the questions of life, but I know He knows my heart, believed. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name when I'm overwhelmed by the pain and can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine. He knows my name.
I praise the Lord for worship, that we can go into His presence and connect with Him. We're back in this topic, the life of the believer, and what we should look like as Christians, especially as we're on this Resurrection Day that we're celebrating. He is risen. He is risen indeed. We are an example of who He is within our lives. I want you to please go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and I want you to focus in on that second verse. We've been speaking this aloud, that it can get into our minds and seep down into our hearts, that we are truly living epistles. So if you read aloud with me that 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting at that second verse, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is, of the heart." Isn't that wonderful that we are truly examples in this dark world? So much is going on, but I thank God for allowing us to walk out His truths. Would you take a moment to pray with me? Father, I just thank You so much for today. Thank You for the saints, Father God. Thank You for what You're doing in our hearts. Lord, I pray for those who are viewing today that may not know You. I pray that today be their day, that they'll confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in their heart that, Father, You've raised them from the dead and You said they would be saved. Thank You, Father, for that immense grace. Lord, I welcome Your Holy Spirit. You've been with us already. Would You please teach us, guide us, lead us into all truth? Please make this word so plain, so easy to be understood, that even a small child can be transformed to be like You. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's put in the chat, amen, amen. Today, we're going back into 1 Peter chapter 1. If you were with us on last Sunday, we introduced that, went through some of those scriptures. So we're jumping back on that 15th verse. And then, Lord willing, next Sunday, we're going to finish out that chapter, because there's so many things to really encourage us in our walk as in the life of the believer and what we should look like. So that 1 Peter 1:15, it says, "But as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." That 1 Peter 1:15 again. "But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy." I want to speak from a title today, "How Holy Are You?" Yes, how holy are you? Could you just look at somebody, if you got somebody with you and you got a little small group going on, ask them, "How holy are you?" Can you put it in the chat just and go back and forth with the chat? How holy are you? As we're in this day that traditionally has been celebrated as a Resurrection Day, I want you to think about the fact that Christ has saved us, those who are believers, and every day, and I said that earlier, is Resurrection Day in our hearts, or should be Resurrection Day in our hearts. As we enter into this season time frame of this particular context of Scripture, it's about 63 to 64 AD. So many things are going on in the lives of the believer, but Peter is being used to encourage them. They are suffering immensely through persecution, stresses of life. Some of them are being murdered literally. Others, their homes are being taken away from them. Families are being divided, all because of this walk of faith, believing in Christ. Therefore, this word comes to encourage them to stay steadfast, to continue to walk in a powerful life, showing who God is. As we get into this section, I want to do a little review from last Sunday. Remember, our focus scripture was 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Remember, we talked about walking in soul salvation. Now, this is important as we think about how God is working in these believers that are under so much pressure, that are sad sometimes, sorrow in their heart, but yet their spirit can rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. That is good news, especially as we walk through our lives. Some points in review that we focus on from last Sunday: we are the elect, we have living hope, we have an inheritance, God keeps us, we rejoice even in the fire. That is good news. Let's go ahead and transition and jump right into 1 Peter 1:10. Of this salvation, he tells them, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you. Now, this is critical as Peter, being led of the Holy Spirit, he's talking about the salvation that they're fighting for, the salvation that they're living in, the salvation that they're suffering for. He says, this is not something just new. It just didn't come when Christ appeared. God was working this out from the foundations of the earth. 1 Peter 1:11, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. Here's our first point. We are saved. Yes, we are saved. Isn't that good news? We are saved. Throughout the Old Testament, God's prophets, the Spirit would sit upon them and they would receive whispers of the Lord. They would see revelation of the coming Messiah, Christ, who we celebrate today. He is risen. He is risen indeed. I want to go through some because I really want you to get that we are saved. Psalms 8:5, it says, for you have made him a little lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor. You have made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. Isn't that good news? Talking about the Messiah, talking about our Christ. Isaiah prophesied in 710 BC of the salvation that would come through Jesus. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. I'm talking about how holy are you. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is beautiful because we can really cherish the salvation that we have in order to walk in the holiness of God. But it doesn't stop there. Many prophets, like God spoke through Daniel, gave him revelation of this salvation through Jesus. In Daniel 7:13, I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. You know, he is coming back. He's coming back as I see all these things coming together. He's coming back. He said he came to the Ancient of Days and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion, glory, and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which shall not be destroyed. Isn't that good? How holy are you? As we think about this salvation that's on the inside of Nineveh. Zechariah prophesied of it in Zechariah 9:9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I'm telling you, we can never take salvation for granted. Any amens out there? Can you just put some emoticons and lift up the hand? What we have is so stupendous when we think about where the Lord has brought us from in spite of our sins. All of us have sinned and fallen short of the kingdom of God. But aren't you glad for Jesus? Because so many believe that they are saved, but yet they don't have a relationship. We've got to make sure that we are connected with Him. There are a lot of people that say that they love Jesus. There are a lot of people that come to church. There are a lot of people that connect with scriptures, but do they have a relationship with Christ? Remember Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, it says you will be saved. Romans 10:10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Isn't that good news? That process of being saved in the Lord, how holy are you? There's so much excitement about God and His salvation. It actually seeped over into the New Testament. Yes, there were people literally living their lives waiting for the Messiah to break the night of the day. They were waiting for Him just to come in, and literally they were praying for God to just give them more days. Let me show you Luke 2:25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. I'm talking about how holy are you? Luke 2:26, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. How holy are you? All of this has been built up to this point that God is saying, please understand never to take your salvation for granted. As believers, we need to walk in a life that has been changed. Luke 2:31, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people to Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken to him. Then Simeon blessed them and said, Mary to his mother, behold, this child, I love that capitalized, is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Please understand, as we live a holy life and we ask ourselves, how holy are we? Please understand, Christ came and he was born that we could live in holiness. There was a senior citizen that was waiting on him too. Please look at this. Luke 2:36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived, here it is, with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. If there anybody 84 years, I don't know if you're on the chat, but just say hallelujah. 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She was waiting on Jesus. How holy are you? And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem. Aren't you glad that we are saved? Can you put it in the chat? We are saved. Look at 1 Peter 1:12. To them, it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Isn't that heavy? Here's the point. The wonder of salvation. the wonder of salvation. So as Peter is being led of the Holy Spirit, ministering to these saints who are going through severe persecution, now they're getting reminded, man, we have a treasure on the inside. We have a treasure that we're willing to die for, to walk in holiness no matter what comes against us. In the same respect as our society gets darker and darker and their pressures, please understand, we got a treasure of holiness that dwells on the inside of us. We are saved. I thank God for that. But did you realize the believer actually has a salvation that's even profound? It's deep. We're going deep right here. Notice in that scripture, the angels desire to look into it. Yes, the angels desire to look into it. Literally in the Greek, but this is saying that the angels want to stoop down and they want to look deeply into our salvation. They don't understand of the wonderful gift of grace. They don't understand how God can take nobodies and make them into somebody. They don't understand how God can change us from the inside out. See, everything before Christ was accounted righteousness, and they were looking, these Old Testament saints were looking to the Messiah to come, but we are actually the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But because Christ died and was resurrected, we can live in a wonderful, profound salvation. How holy are you? William Lincoln, missionary in the 1800s, he wrote this. Listen to this. The fullness of God's grace could not appear till Christ came. God could and did save sinners and take them to heaven as he did in it before, but union with Christ and all that such union implies could not be experienced until Christ died and rose again. He is risen. He's risen indeed. The wonder of salvation. Because we live in this wonderful salvation, this wonderment of salvation, Paul the Apostle writes in 2 Corinthians 6:1, I hope you're getting this. We then as workers together with him also plead to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. So often in our lives as life of the believers, we have to make sure that we're not living in vanity, that we're not taking for granted, as said earlier, the grace and mercy God has given us through Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 6:2, for he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. I'm talking about the wonder of salvation. How holy are you? Look at 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts as in your ignorance. Here's the next point. I want you to get this. We live a transformative life. Yes, we live a transformative life. Now, looking at this 1 Peter 1:13, again, that first part, it says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Yes, gird up. Now, this is a picturesque Greek word. In essence, in that time, they would wear long robes. And wearing those long robes, there would be times that they needed to run or get somewhere quick. And so they would actually pull up the robe and they would put a belt around their waist and they would gird it. They would tie up the robe so their legs would be free and that they could run. As we make this respective thought, we come to the point of realizing when we gird up our minds, what we're trying to do is walk a life that's unhindered, that we don't have a whole bunch of junk. We're composed and we're cool and we don't have distractions because we are focused on the holiness of God. We're focused on the fact that God will never leave us nor forsake us. I'm telling there's some people they need to gird up your mind. In order to live this transformative life consistently, we must live as Romans 12:1. I beseech ye therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Please understand that this living sacrifice, actually, God says this word again, holy. Can you put in the chat, holy? If you're not in the chat, just scream out, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How holy are you? But I don't forget 1 Peter 1:14, that second part, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. He was basically telling them not to go back. And I want to tell you today on this resurrection day, don't go back. Don't go back. God has done too much good in your life. God has paid the price for you. He died on the cross of Calvary for you. Don't go back. God wants us to go forward. Remember Old Testament. Remember Lot? Yes, remember Lot found himself in Sodom and Gomorrah, and there it just imploded. But the angels came to deliver Sodom, deliver them out of Sodom and Gomorrah. His wife, his family, some chose to stay. Others came. One of his wife came out with Lot, and as they were going out of the city, the angels were pushing them. One of the warnings was, don't look back. I'm talking about how holy are you? I'm telling you, God has delivered us from our former lives. Don't look back. Let me show you what happened. Lot's wife, as she was going out of the city, angel pushing them, she looked back longingly to Sodom and Gomorrah, that place that was being destroyed, that place that had all kinds of chains of bondage in her life. She looks back in Genesis 19:26, but his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. How holy are you? We must live a transformative life as believers. Let me sum this up. I'm telling you, we're going to take it home in 1 Peter 1:15-16. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. I want you to write this down in the chat, please. Holy, holy, holy. That's the point. Holy, holy, holy. Wherever you are, sitting on your couches, probably you might be on your feet already. Just go, holy, holy, holy. How holy are you? Reginald Heber penned these lyrics. I love this song. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Early in the morning, our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty. God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And that would have been enough to get us shouting, but he continues on. He says, holy, holy, holy. All the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and art evermore shall be. Holy, 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 through the darkness hide thee, through the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, love, and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, blessed Trinity. And because our God is so holy, he wants us to live holy. He wants us to live in his saving power and to walk in his mercies. We are to be holy. 1 Peter 1:15 says it again, be holy in all your conduct, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Well, as we stop today, I'm talking about holiness came from heaven to earth. I'm talking about Jesus. Aren't you glad about it? He walked among men and women, healing the sick and raising the dead, walking on water. I'm talking about holiness. He was able to speak to storms and say, you know what? Peace be still. That whole process of holiness. But I'm glad that he didn't stop right there. But we find him going down the Via Dolorosa after being betrayed by Judas Iscariot, going to the cross of Calvary, nails in his hands and nails in his feet for us, carrying our sins and bearing our griefs, dying on that cross of Calvary. They put him in a cold grave. He stayed there the first day, the second day, but there ought to be some shouts out there say, he's risen, he's risen. Yes, on that third day, he gets up with all power and all glory in the holiness and the majesty, and he lends salvation via the Holy Spirit that dwells in the heart of those who will confess them. But did you know, even in the heavenlies, that there are angels and creatures that have been created to say his holiness? Let me show you Revelation 4:6. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes front and in back. How holy are you? The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Are you with me? I hope you're with me right now. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Please understand, as you look at the Greek there, it seems to indicate they continue on with this over and over again. Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, cast their crowns before the throne, saying in Revelation 4:11, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." There ought to be some shouts of praise bringing this all home. The Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints come together, fall down, and say, "Holy, holy, holy God, you have done more than we can dare ask or think." There ought to be some saints just to give them a hand clap of praise. Lift up your hands and thank God for salvation. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Saints, how holy are you? As we walk through this day and we think about Christ, we think about what he's done. Please understand, he did it for us, that we could live lives that are different, lives that are changed. If you don't know him, we talked about it in the message. Would you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead? The scriptures are clear. You will be saved. It's by grace through faith and not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Would you take that gift today? To the saints, I just want to encourage you. Let's live holy. We can't do it on our own, but he's given us the Holy Spirit. Let's not grieve the Holy Spirit, but let's strive through getting in the word more, more prayer, more worship, more praise, more fellowship of the saints, that we can walk more like him. Let's pray together. Father, I just thank you so much for this word. Lord, these saints were going through, but they were encouraged, and we're encouraged also to live the life of the believer, Lord, that people can see Christ in us. Lord, help us to live holy for you. Thank you, God, for getting up out of that grave on the third day. You have risen. You have risen indeed. We give you praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Of Jesus and all he's done.